Live from CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Rural hospitals are the lifeblood of a community. But over the years, everything from natural disasters to the skyrocketing cost of health care and the ripple effects of the pandemic have put the survivability of these remote hospitals and the large distances that they serve at risk. At its most extreme, some are finding the costs are simply too great to bear and shut down completely. Others have gone bankrupt, while others look to partner up and merge with larger hospital systems like Dignity Health to stay financially afloat. Aside from critical care and life-saving services, many people that are put at risk over the long term because they're putting off or missing routine checkups and preventative care. And for the communities themselves, many find that their hospitals are the largest employers with good wages. So when a hospital shuts down, that impact can be felt from towns to larger cities like Sacramento. Emily Heyman is a reporter for the Sacramento Business Journal and joins us with a deep dive into the state of our local rural hospitals, a report in partnership with the USC Annenberg Center for Health Journalism. Good morning.
Good morning.
I am an alumnus of the Center for Health Journalism as well.
That's great.
It's a wonderful program. So you've been working on this reporting and really this deep dive since last fall in October. What really sparked your interest into the state of looking into rural hospitals?
So I do cover healthcare for the Business Journal, and as part of my kind of daily reporting duties, that usually involves looking at our bigger hospital systems that we have here, you know, Sutter, UC Davis, some of the major kind of statewide hospital systems that have a large presence here. But I'd heard about the rural healthcare crisis happening kind of nationally. And so when the opportunity to take kind of a deep dive into one topic came up, I thought I would use this opportunity to look at some of our rural hospitals. I'm from El Dorado County, born and raised there. And so I thought I wanted to use this opportunity to spotlight the communities there and some of the crises there that often go overlooked.
Yeah, I mean, when saying deep dive, that's a simplistic way of the work that you had to embark on. I mean, how much of a lift was it to get the data to give you a clear picture of what's happening?
Yeah, so when we talk about big data projects, a lot of the time we're talking about the challenge in getting data or data being incomplete. With healthcare, with the kind of reporting requirements that hospitals have to comply with, it's the opposite sometimes. For this data set that I was working with, it's based on the annual reports that hospitals have to file, and it's pages and pages of financial data that hospitals have to submit, and then that's compiled into this massive Excel spreadsheet, which breaks down the financials into really granular details, and it's kind of I think it's more than 10,000 data points for each hospital in the state for every year. And so as part of this project and with the resources from USC, I was able to gain some of the technical skills to really parse this data to make sense out of it and to discover some trends.
Yeah, because data is nothing without context and being able to make sense of it. With the big picture in mind, what are the biggest differences between rural hospitals and other bigger hospitals, for example, in the Sacramento region?
A lot of the challenges, the differences are geography, of course, patient demographics. And a lot of the changes or a lot of the challenges that I discovered are some of the things that I'm hearing about also from the larger hospitals, you know, rising costs, rising workforce costs, challenges with reimbursement rates, things that affect basically all hospitals, but they affect rural hospitals to a larger degree. They're kind of disproportionately impacted by these factors. And when rural hospitals are impacted by them, they don't really have the safety net to adjust. Mm-hmm. They don't have the income streams. They don't have the diversification or and sometimes just the reserves that it takes to recover from these settings.
When it comes to the patients that they serve, each community is unique in demographics. Is there something unique about rural communities and hospitals within those communities and the patients, the people that rely on these hospitals?
So just like these challenges disproportionately impact rural hospitals, the challenges that these hospitals face disproportionately impact their communities. there are, in Sacramento County, for example, you know, we're spoiled for choice. We have, I have three hospitals, you know, within a 5-minute drive of my house. But these two hospitals that I looked at in El Dorado County, there's two of them. They're the only two in the county. You know, they're 40 miles apart or 60 miles apart. And they're at least 30 miles from the closest hospital outside the county. And so patients really rely on these hospitals. There aren't a lot of other options to access healthcare, I mean, beyond these hospitals.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, when you're talking about the two hospitals, Barton Memorial Hospital and Marshall Medical Center, I mean, you have to cross Echo Summit. I mean, if you're saying 60 miles in distance.
Yeah, those aren't freeway miles.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like traveling on I-80. So when it comes to El Dorado County and the unique demographics, the people that they serve, why is it important to understand the people within this community when explaining the data that you discovered?
Yes, then that's because a large part of the challenges facing rural hospitals is demographics, just kind of the patients that they serve and the reimbursements rates for what kind of insurance that they have is basically what it comes down to. And so older patients, patients who are low income, tend to be on government health care, which makes the financial situation a little bit more challenging. And these rural communities, El Dorado County, kind of a typical rural community, has a larger portion of older residents, a larger portion of low-income residents, and that's part of a trend that's been happening for a while, where basically a lot of the jobs are leaving rural communities and leaving only kind of the retired people and the younger people working the low-wage jobs left in these communities.
Well, let's start off with Barton Memorial Hospital. That's in South Lake Tahoe, correct? What were the unique challenges that they faced over just really in recent years, from natural disasters? There was a Caldor fire, as well as financial challenges.
Yeah, there are some obvious, of course, challenges that, you know, urban hospitals will never have to face. You know, a few years ago during the Caldor fire, they actually had to evacuate. They had to move all of their patients to other hospitals. And they've actually had to do that a few times in the last couple of years as wildfires were threatening the area. And I mean, there's a lot of other kind of natural disasters that they face, you know, power outages, storms, things that impact these hospitals just based on where they are. And demographically, the communities that they serve, Barton, you know, is in South Lake Tahoe. And we think of Tahoe maybe as a resort community, but the people who live there,
there's tens of thousands. Yeah,
there are tens of thousands of people, and they tend to be older, retired people or very low income people. I was a little bit surprised to find that actually some of the lowest income households in the entire county are located in the resort community in South Lake Tahoe. Hmm.
What was the big message you got from Barton Hospital about the challenges that they're facing?
I was optimistic to get an optimistic message from Barton about how they have been able to, they face challenges, but these are challenges that they kind of prepare for in terms of wildfires. They had a plan, they executed it, and they've been able to kind of find some other revenue streams that can help make up for the losses that they incur as part of the patient population they have to serve.
When it comes down to Marshall Medical Center, and that's located in Placerville, is it a similar story, or are they facing, you know, just different challenges?
It's a lot of the same story in terms of patient demographics, but they don't exactly have the same kind of opportunities for revenue that that Barton does. It's you know, a small community in Placerville. They also got kind of an optimistic message from them, however, even though they are, of course, facing possibly even greater challenges than Barton is.
Yeah, they lost about $19 million last year. Is that sizable? I mean, it sounds like a lot.
They did. Yeah, it is. I don't remember the figure, but that is a pretty large portion of their annual revenue. A lot of that did come from the kind of stock market and their investments and the downturn in the market, which a lot of hospitals were facing. But this was they also operated at a loss. They did lose money, in mm-hmm. fact, just in treating patients last year, which they do from year to year. They do from time to time. They What they told me is that this is just kind of part of what they do. They find new revenue streams. They find new grants to cover their program. And as they pointed out, there's been some kind of healthcare in Placerville and El Dorado County since the Gold Rush days, and they don't anticipate going anywhere soon.
We know that burnout has been a justified and real challenge for hospitals across the country, especially when it comes to hospital staff, like nurses in particularly. Are they okay with staffing issues right now, a couple years after the pandemic, coupled with natural disasters?
Yeah, and staffing challenges are, I think, right now one of the biggest problems in healthcare in general across the board. But they impact, of course, rural hospitals more so because there are fewer people there. I mean, there are fewer people to hire in those communities. And the during the pandemic, when we saw a large number of healthcare workers dropping out of the workforce due to extreme challenges and some trauma, that, of course, drove their wages up. The workers who remained were able to demand higher wages. Any kind of wage or any kind of cost increase for hospitals, especially rural hospitals, the more kind of precarious financial situation these hospitals are going to be in, the less able they are going to be to absorb those costs. Mm.
When it comes to both of these hospitals that we're talking about, they're independent hospitals. They're not part of these huge healthcare systems like Dignity Health or Kaiser or Sutter. What is the benefit of being an independent hospital given the current state of affairs that they're in?
Yes. I mean, hospital consolidation and mergers have been a huge topic lately. And we see sometimes, rural hospitals who are asking, they reach out, they're begging to be bought, to be acquired by these larger systems just to stay afloat. But Marshall and Barton were not like that. They said they will stay as independent as much as they possibly can. And they point to just some of the benefits that they feel like they get to patients from being able to be flexible. Not having to kind of report to a corporate office for when they want to do something really quick in response to a crisis happening on the ground in their community. And they're really able to, they say they're really able to kind of customize their coverage, their programs for the community, which they know best. And they're able to customize their service mm-hmm. for that. And that's why they said they're dedicated to remaining independent.
So with that dedication to remain independent, how are they adapting to make themselves more accessible to people in rural communities?
Yeah, so as I mentioned before, even the geography of these rural communities is a huge challenge. Getting to patients maybe, 12 miles away, but that may be, on the other side of a river canyon, or that may be during a snowstorm. These things that rural hospitals have to deal with. And so they've come up with a number of kind of innovative programs. They rely on a lot of volunteer programs. During these most recent snowstorms, for example, that they had, a lot of their workers were trapped in their houses because there was, feet and feet of snow on the ground. And so they turned to local volunteers who drove Jeeps, who could go get their employees and bring them to work. And they deploy kind of mobile. They're working on deploying like a mobile mammogram clinic, for example, for some of these very rural, very hard to reach areas. And that's kind of some examples of the challenges that they face and the ways they've been creative in overcoming them.
Really the essence of a community, right? Especially during hardship.
That is really the essence of these rural communities is people just helping each other because a lot of times there's no resources coming from outside.
Finally, Emily, I mean, you really did this deep dive, a lot of research into your home county. What was the biggest takeaway that you had as a journalist and as someone who calls it their hometown?
So I was really kind of privileged to take this deep dive into some of these hospitals and as kind of spotlight their challenges and celebrate their successes. Some of the biggest challenges that I found are things that I already knew regarding reimbursement rates with Medicare and Medi-Cal. And I was definitely surprised at the depth of those challenges, how serving these older patients and these poor patients often leads to you know, them hospitals not being reimbursed even the costs of treating the patients at all, and they don't get that kind of backfill that the hospitals in urban populations get.
Emily, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Emily Heyman is a reporter for the Sacramento Business Journal. Her reporting is part of USC's Center for Health Journalism, which is part of Annenberg. We have a link on our website. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.